Welcome to The Nerd Closet, a podcast celebrating the mind of the gay man from high culture to pop culture. I'm Phil Putnam.
And I'm Joe Ferreira. And thank you for pressing play on what we believe is our very first episode.
Woo! Inaugural ship.
Go episode.
Exactly.
Pop the champagne.
This time on The Nerd Closet, we'll talk about Manti Te'o and online long-term relationships.
And Joe swears that swearing isn't a problem.
So I'm guessing you don't live under a rock?
I don't live under a rock,
You
no.
live in this wonderful apartment we're in.
Yeah.
So then anybody who has not been under a rock is probably familiar with the whole Manti Te'o story, where we still don't know all the details, but for one reason or another, he lied about a dead girlfriend online.
Right.
There
okay.
may or may not have been a long-term
yeah.
online relationship. The person on the other end of the chat may or not have been a male rather than a female. So that's been swirling around the news a lot lately. And to pair with this, my partner has started watching the MTV show Catfish, which is the TV version of the movie of the same name and by the same director. So basically, it's a reality show that follows these people who have had long-term online relationships but have yet to meet the person they've been in this relationship with. And it follows them to actually meeting that person. And we've watched several episodes of it. And I think all but one of them, the person on the other end of the conversation has been a complete lie. It's usually been someone of the same gender or someone who's gay. It's really kind of caught my attention as something that, I mean, Catfish was one thing. But when the whole Manti Te'o thing happened, I'm like, okay, this is not a rare occurrence. And there probably are a lot of other people out there who might be on one of the two sides of this.
The two sides being what?
One side is being the person, like both of them are in the relationship. One person thinks the other person is real, and the other person knows that they're a lie.
Okay.
So even though you haven't met in person, there's real emotional involvement and real emotional entanglement, and there's been pictures traded. And we're talking, like, most of these people have been in relationships for years. We're not talking a matter of weeks or months. I mean, some of them have gone for as long as 10 years without meeting in person.
Okay, and that's why. That's like a geography restriction?
Well,
where it's like, I just can't get to Venice, so...
I'm just speaking from my opinion.
Okay.
Most of these both of them are in America.
Okay.
So... I think that if you go that long in an emotional relationship without meeting, both people have reasons for not meeting. And
sure.
Plus, I fully believe relationships are two-sided all the time. So
right.
both people are creating the circumstance where they don't meet in person. So there could be a myriad of reasons for that. But I am sort of fascinated to find out what you think about these long-term online relationships where you don't meet. And these people, by the way,
right.
they talk on the phone all the time. And when you, and like on Catfish,
sure,
you overhear a conversation and you hear the other person on the other end of the phone and you're like, there is no way that's not a woman. Now, maybe it's kind of a huskier female voice, but there's no way that's a male voice.
But the person being profiled on the show is oblivious.
Completely believes it. But I honestly kind of get that. Because love requires a certain amount of blindness to survive.
And this is always love. Like, it's not just friendship. It's, like, passion.
In the episodes of Catfish that we've seen, these people have full-on exchange love. Like, it's that level. That's the level of emotional involvement they're in.
I'm amazed by this. I have not seen either the film Catfish, which was a horror movie, wasn't it?
No, it was a documentary.
It was a documentary?
Yeah.
I think I'm thinking of Swim Fan, then.
Maybe you're thinking of Anaconda.
Anaconda.
No, what was it? Lake Placid with Betty White and the Killer Sharks.
I actually saw Lake Placid 3.
Okay.
I think there's a
3.
Oh, for like a moment on cable.
Oh,
it was pretty
wow.
amazing.
Okay.
No, I was thinking of something else that was like a little bit stalkery.
No, totally
but
different.
Catfish, fascinating.
This is, okay, good point. This
okay.
is not online stalking at all.
Okay.
This is two people that are fully engaged in this relationship that has full-on emotional involvement to the level of love. And they've been in this relationship online and talking on phone for years, for anywhere from like 1.5 to some of them have been in this for 10 years.
There's just some deception going on.
Well, and what you come to learn is that there's a lot of deception going on. So I'm just sort of wondering,
what are my initial responses? I mean,
yeah,
what
would you do if you were in that situation? If you were someone who believed that the person on the other end was a certain person, you were fully emotionally engaged with them, and then you finally got to meet them and you find out that it's a 16-year-old lesbian.
Okay, well, we're already assuming one thing, which is that I feel like I could fall in love with an email companion.
Well, for the sake of this discussion,
let's make
all those assumptions.
Okay, so it's happened.
Yeah.
I have this person. I just think they're the bee's knees. They're so cool. I've fallen in love with them. And then I find out they're not who they are. I mean, I think that experience of discovering that they're something else, however it is, whatever it is, I'm sure that's very bad. I'm sure that's terrible. I'm sure you feel betrayed. And I would be a little scared. Like, I think I would be wary going forward. But I'm still stuck on, like, I don't really even want to assume that I would be in that situation. I want to ask, like, how people get in that situation. Mm-hmm. Because You've Got Mail is a great movie. But, like, I don't know if I've ever sustained any sort of pen pal relationship with anyone who I did not actually meet in person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it just depends upon how someone is able to develop emotional connections. And, like, a couple of my very significant love relationships I've been in my life started online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we met within a matter of weeks after we first started, because distance has always worked for me.
Right.
But I can totally understand how emotional connections can form. So that makes sense to me. Like, I'm not mystified by that.
Hmm.
And I guess I can also understand and partially relate to the reasons why someone would stay in a relationship where meeting in person was not made a possibility for a long period of time. Here's the last final piece of this I wanted to run by.
Okay, last final piece.
So in Catfish, the majority of the episodes at the end where everything comes out, you know, you realize.
Well,
that
you know, I love me some pop rock.
It's not the
some
person
acoustic
at all.
Bass pop rock.
I'm a child
person,
of 90 years.
You love you a lot of things.
I love me a lot of things, and I love me
exist.
Some of the Rescues.
The Rescues
most
are
times,
my
after
favorite
band
right
was
over,
okay.
After the
person
who
was deceived remains
friends.
Honestly, can't remember where I first heard of them.
The person
who was
crazy online.
That's where I first heard of them.
In the cases where it's
like
so
a
person
they
who's
just
dead
put out a recently put out a new record called Blah Blah Love and War.
They almost have this
and they made it through PledgeMusic.com, which is like
where they
a
understand
grown up why
someone
would do it.
So
a grown up version,
it's a much more
the
developed version.
Maintained.
I'm
just with
it now,
with
my friends.
Run it.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, about that, I would think that the person you loved is in there somewhere.
Anyway,
right?
So
like, unless you were just
100%
into the photos they sent you, which are
they did a major label record.
Then, like, your conversations were with
the
real
man, who's one of the four members of them.
You could still see that good or
oh,
wonderful.
The TV show,
like that piece of them could still be attractive.
He also has actually in his earlier years in his career.
As far as like, there was one thing you said
scores.
Oh, I don't understand why someone would lash out, would do this in response to
anyway
pain.
This
is just like a distance thing, like I was bullied and so I choose to let the internet handle most of my relationships.
I almost always know the titles of songs, but I actually
track for everyone.
So difficult
and so painful.
I think I'm pretty sure it's Be My Cure.
A life.
It is and it is track four.
That brings me
look at you.
I know.
So this is track four. The Rescues,
okay.
Be My Cure,
that's really
okay.
What it is.
Blah, blah,
it's
Love and War.
I can't wait. I just can't be myself, so I'm going to be
Deborah
online, and that's easier.
And you know, I get it. Everybody has coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
You know, and now that the internet allows this, I'll get some new thing.
Right.
But this is a way that people can do that. They can really curate the personality they want. They can emotionally engage with someone in a way that's not possible in their physical day-to-day life. they can give to someone in a unique way. They can receive love.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I don't think it's malicious. I think it's definitely deceptive if it's a lie. But I don't think the base impulse is malicious. I think people who are often bullied in a traumatic way, which I was, our response often is to want to give love to someone else. It's an interesting response, but in some way being treated so poorly increases the urge to treat someone else better, almost to affirm the goodness of our humanity.
I feel like I hear the opposite of that a lot, though.
Well, I think that's what probably is easiest to talk about because we're drawn to the negative. And I'm not saying it's one or the other.
And
it's
Hollywood,
both.
Well, and Hollywood films love the villain who was abused as a child, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal.
Sure. I think that nobody is just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this case, most people are very little of what they're representing.
Sure.
I'm telling you, you're going to hear a lot more about this for a while.
Interesting.
You can tell it's a current that's in our culture. And I think the Manti Te'o story brought it out into a national level.
Yeah.
Even though I think that story and the way it's unfolded has just been like completely farcical.
Yeah.
Right? But
I'm totally fascinated. I want to watch this show now and just see a little bit of how these people react and hear one or two more motives for why someone would do this.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that it might actually be, I mean, you've said 10 years. It might actually be sustainable for these great lengths of time because they each have some part of them that works in this strange relationship. One person who is in some intense pain and is creating this alternate personality, like it works, the internet relationship works for them because they can distance themselves from their truth. And the person on the other end who's receiving the fake personality, maybe there's a reason they can go 10 years and not meet their lover. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, they need distance too, apparently. So, wow, it's fascinating.
It's crazy.
It takes
you and I might already be in fake online love.
I don't think I understand that.
I'm totally kidding.
You mean without our knowledge?
No, it would have to be with our knowledge.
That's going to be the next episode.
Unless we both took a lot of Ambien.
And then, I don't know. I just can't.
Okay. Well, you know what? Now comes time for what we like to call A-side, B-side.
That's true.
Which is a little music feature where Joe shares a song, we talk about it, I share a song, we talk about it, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And important to know, dear listeners, that neither of us have played these songs for each other before. So
that's
we're
true.
Really hearing them and responding to them right here in the moment, which makes for great podcasting.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And one thing you should know is that Phil is a singer-songwriter, and he's released some albums. I have worked as a DJ, and I make mashups before, so we're both coming at this from slightly different perspectives
totally.
As well. So the song is called And It Was You. The artist is How to Dress Well.
Okay.
I've never heard of How to Dress Well before. But I listened to a few other things and wasn't really a fan, but this song really speaks to me and it's very different, but I'll explain to you why I like it so much in a bit.
You don't have to call me, my love will be there for you, and you don't have to worry. Cause I love will be care for you, girl. Whenever you will call me, my love will be terrible. When I had to wonder, said my love will be there for you, girl. Anytime you need me, I will call back. Anytime you want me, I will call back. Now I love can't even call you.
that's totally like one of like the perfect walking around the city songs.
Oh, sure.
I can totally see like doing errands to that song. Walking down night, you know, like doing my thing. I want to know, how did you find it?
I was part of a singing wedding proposal, like marriage proposal, for a friend of mine.
Really?
And this was one of the songs he sang.
How do you sing that song live?
Well, he kind of did
a
high falsetto. No, he sang it live. So he had, I mean, it's obviously very stripped, so part of it is snapping, and I had like an egg shaker, and he was singing just the sort of a cappella part of it.
This is so, such a better story
than anyone expected.
I just
right?
thought you were going to say, like, I heard it on Spotify. Like,
no,
I was going to go, like, proposal.
A friend of mine, this is a special song between him and his girlfriend and now fiance. And thank God. It worked, yes. But, so I came and was back up and did like a little bit of harmonies and shook an egg, and this was their song. And I, of course, went and listened to it ahead of time and have not stopped listening to it afterwards, because it appeals to me so much.
Mm-hmm.
I did a cappella singing in college, so obviously there's a little bit of that going on here. It technically is a cappella, but then also when all of that harmony of male voices, which might even be himself doubled, come in, it sort of gives you, if you're singing along, it gives you a few opportunities each minute to harmonize with the lead vocal, and so that's really fun. And then it kind of becomes a club at the end too, which is the other thing that I like. So it was like, wow, it goes from a cappella music into a little bit of thumpa thumpa, and
that was really it was fun. It definitely made me think of like out on the quad in college, like there's always some a cappella group out there doing something, you know. So that it also made me really think of two artists. It made me think of Robin Thicke a lot in terms of the vocal style. Are you familiar with him?
I'm not at all. Okay. So I'm glad you're saying
yes. Robin Thicke, and then it also made me think of Janet Jackson in terms of a lot of the production style, you know, because it's a style of putting music together where it's basically just kind of a percussive beat. And then vocals of some kind, like very little actual tonality going on outside of the vocals. It was really interesting, like to hear how the song was put together. Okay, so that was How to Dress Well.
How to Dress Well is the artist.
And It Was You.
And It Was You is the name of the song, spelled with an ampersand.
Good times.
Okay. All right. Glad you like it. All right, so I work at a publisher, and I work with technology at this publisher, and one thing that I'm focused on right now is creating some very smart search filters for our website, and one thing that you need when you're shopping online for content is to be able to filter mature material out from quote-unquote appropriate for all
so
ages.
Just have some fun, just define mature.
Well, there's a lot of... Okay, so it could be different things. And the system I'm working on, there are different qualifiers for what makes it mature. It could be sexual content.
Okay.
It could be, like, extreme violence.
Sure.
We actually have sexual content at two levels.
Okay.
But the one that I actually wanted to talk about is just strong language.
Okay.
And that's how it's worded in our system for customers to use.
Uh-huh.
And that's really vague. And I think it's really vague because... who knows what strong language anymore? And I'm having this crazy reaction where, even though I'm working on this, part of me is like, guys, why is this a big deal? And I think for a long time I've wondered, why is swearing that big of a deal? It's kind
like
of like a...
cuss words, like
cuss
word,
like saying fuck.
Yeah,
like if
sure.
I said fuck, like nothing really changes. And what's funny is that I don't even swear
hold
all
on,
the time. Fuck.
No, I feel the same.
You felt, yeah, right? So I don't even swear all the time. I just have this belief where I'm like, it's really not that bad.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's famine and war and all these other real problems in the world. And I don't understand why people get so angry about four-letter words. And it's not that I don't understand the concept of being inappropriate or the concept of being rude. Because I could be really rude to you using...
I think you're very polite.
Thank you.
Decorous,
but, like, but, you know,
gentleman.
But I could, like, dress you down and be really horrible and say that you're not worth anything and you're bad at your job and, you know, your love is is fake because you have a fake person.
All these things.
All these things. And it And I wouldn't have to use four-letter words to do it. And they're different things. I don't understand why they're the same.
Well, I would totally agree. You're not going to believe this, but... So I kind of work on like a software implementation role of my company too. So literally just today, I was working through a list of obscenity words.
Right.
And like, it's like, and I love a curse word and I love some crass language. I just like to goose people with my language every once in a while. I love using words to get reaction. But even this list was making, it would make the saltiest of sailors blush. And it's alphabetical.
Yeah,
and the first term on this list is anal beads. And when anal beads is your starting point,
like
you
this
know
list.
It's good.
How long is this list?
It's a few hundred terms.
Wow, can we publish a full?
No, we cannot.
Okay, never mind, everybody. We're not.
But it just made me chuckle. And it's funny because you and I are both talking about handling what's termed inappropriate language in a business context, in a marketing context. But I think your frustration maybe is coming more from like a general life context. And I totally agree with you that really being cruel to someone with language and simply using language, using fuck or motherfucker, which is my absolute favorite, just in a matter of normal conversation, two totally different things because the intent really is what makes the difference.
Right, I agree. And I don't have a lot of like pent up frustration around this topic. I just... Every now and then I'll see something, I'll be like, are you serious? And I remember hearing an NPR story, and I love NPR almost as much as I love air.
Almost as much as I love anal beads.
Almost as much, right?
Yeah.
But they're always first. there was like a story about like kids at a school that had recorded a rap to like encourage other students to stop cussing. And it was very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Story, you know, they reported it very well. They played some of the rap.
Sounds really white.
It sounded very. Oh, it was so white. I'm sure it happened in Connecticut, but
just
white just,
from like the sense of propriety.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
here's
yeah.
Swearless rap.
Oh,
rap is kind of supposed to have some cursing in it. Even whether you're white or black or any other color, any other race, you're supposed to curse in rap.
Well, and they called it cuss too.
Oh God.
Like the refrain was, "Don't cuss, don't cuss, And I remember being like, kids. Raise money for disaster relief. Raise money for, like, dying homeless sick people. Raise money for cancer research. Like, there are, like, 100 other things you could organize around that would be better than organizing around people swearing.
So is it bothers you in the sense, in comparison to other more important things, cursing is getting the attention?
Bothers is even too strong. I'm just saying...
It's strong language.
Bothering... Yeah, yes. But, like, I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. But you can understand, like, why you would need to implement this in a business context, right?
Well, I can understand... Okay. Woo. So now we're getting into, like, sort of like a meta level where it's like...
It's a perception
should you
thing.
Or shouldn't you? Well, I might think that... It's mostly harmless, and you're just saying these words to blow off steam. But yes, I do understand that in a business setting, when I don't know how other people feel, I will absolutely curb my behavior.
Curb the curse.
I'll curb the curse. Curb the cuss.
Curb the cuss. That's just such a wimpy word.
Cuss?
Yeah, I hate it.
But the kids rapped about it.
I just, it makes me, like, the word cuss makes me cringe in the same way that, like, the word moist makes other people cringe. Like,
yeah, okay, that's
so many of my friends just are creeped out by the word moist. Moist, moist, moist. There. now my friends are angry.
Now everyone's like, but, like, I'm not gonna swear in a job interview because I have knowledge of the world. You
well,
know what I mean? So
well,
I'm admitting
let me ask
that.
You this. Let me put it in a more personal context.
Please.
I mean, neither of us are single at this point. But say that we were on a date. Say that you were on a date with a guy.
Sure.
And great guy otherwise, hot, intelligent, but he really did curse a lot. And say he was a little bit loud about it. And you want to see this guy again, and you start thinking forward, as we all do, start extrapolating to, like, you know, what happens on the third or fourth date, and, you know, what happens if maybe, you know, we take him home to meet the parents or whatever. How does his excessive is not the right word. How does his liberal use of swear words on a first date impact you? Does it make you think twice about him? Like, tell me really about that.
if it's impacting his ability to actually transmit meaning with his sentences, for example, I know that that didn't even transmit meaning. That was like the most convoluted sentence. Okay, but you're, like, if you are just resulting to like, these clams are motherfuckers, instead of being like, I like the clams I'm eating.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like maybe you could use a broader vocabulary and actually like achieve more accurate results in terms of communication. I know that sounds like a college class, but like that's what I would say is like if you talk a lot but say nothing, and it's because you're swearing, but or just because those are the words you go to, minus 1 point. If you're really loud about it, minus 1 point, and that falls under the umbrella of like knowledge of the universe, like. Regardless of how you feel, like you, like you adapt to the environment, and
so it impacts your idea of maybe. Does it impact your idea of his level of intelligence, or just his level of sort of life intelligence?
No, I don't think the use of this. No, I don't think they do.
Okay,
I think the rest of the speech surrounding the swear words would clue
would
me
tell
in.
You more than
would
the
tell
swear
you
words.
More. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because if we're having, like, a great conversation, then he's like, you know, these political theories are just fucking bullshit. Well, then he just talked about political theory. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he has obviously got something.
That makes sense. You know, I have to be honest. It's kind of a dichotomy for me here because I really enjoy swearing. And I swear more than I think might even be appropriate.
Sure.
But it does make me feel like it's not the most intelligent way to communicate. Now, sometimes it's the most meaningful way, and sometimes just fuck is just the only right word for the moment.
Yeah.
And I completely support that. I fucking support that.
Of course, yeah.
But I do have that thing in me where I feel like if it's a key pillar of my word choice and how I choose to communicate and gain emphasis in my speech, then I feel like there's a more intelligent way to go. And in that dating scenario, I'm pretty much on the same page as you. Where if it was excessive and if it wasn't used for meaning, if it was more just part of his vernacular and his like thoughtless speech pattern, in the same way that I might say like or then... Then I think I would form an opinion of him that thought.
Well.
I wish you talked a little bit more intelligently, a little bit more thoughtfully.
Sure. No, I agree. And you're right about like, does it provide meaning? Because I think it does, and how you say it. Like sometimes swear words are hysterically funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of comedy that comes out of someone being like, "Fuck."
Seriously. But
you
that's about
mean?
Timing and context,
exactly.
Just like all comedy is.
Exactly.
And I think all meaning in conversation is based on timing and context. There's a time to swear, there's a time not to swear.
I wish I could play the kids rapping the song, though.
Oh my god.
It's just...
It'd be so fucking great. Yeah. Well, you know I love me some pop rock. Some acoustic-based pop rock. I am a child of the 90s.
You love you a lot of things.
I love me a lot of things, and I love me some of the Rescues. The Rescues are one of my favorite bands right now and have been for the past few years. And honestly, can't remember where I first heard of them. Oh, no, Grey's Anatomy. That's where I first heard of them. And so they just put out recently put out a new record called Blah Blah Love and War. And they made it through PledgeMusic.com, which is like basically like a grown-up version of Kickstarter. So
a grown-up version.
It's like a much more developed version. Like, I'm partial to it because like some of my friends run it.
Okay,
so
got it. Yeah.
And I almost did one of my albums through PledgeMusic, but I chose not to fan fund it. Anyway, so I was a part of the fan funding for the Rescues.
Cool.
And I'm just so in love with them. They did a major label record. They came back to the independent side. And actually, Gabriel Mann, who's one of the four members of them, he is one of two guys who writes all the music for Modern Family.
Oh, wonderful.
The TV show. And he also has actually, in his earlier years in his career, actually did several scores for direct-to-video Barbie animated movies for five-year-old girls. He's very proud of this.
Okay.
Anyway, this is from their new album, Blah Blah Love and War. And it is called... Crap, what is it called?
I almost always know the titles of songs, but I have actually...
It's track four, everyone.
Pull this up. I think, I'm pretty sure it's Be My Cure. It is track four.
Yeah,
look at you.
I know.
So this is track four. The Rescues, Be My Cure,
okay.
Blah Blah Love and War.
I can't wait. I love that.
Yes!
I really, really love that.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
Oh, it's just, it's like, it's madness. You know what I mean? Like, the whole song is, like, it need, like, they need someone to be their cure, because, especially the, like, organ music at the end, there's, like, a type of insanity or, like, something going on.
It's got a little bit of, like, that gothic feel. Like, not, like, gothic, like, Nine Inch Nails, but, like, the gothic... organ music, and I like it's so dramatic.
Oh, sure,
you know, and I feel like it's a little bit winking, but it's mostly taking itself seriously.
Oh, it's very, I totally hear the like Phantom of the Opera, like impending doom, like drama in it a little bit.
This song was a slow burn for me, like I didn't attach to it right when I heard the record, but it's just really snuck up on me. And I love that they save the big organ pad for the end.
Sure.
They don't give it all way up front. they really kind of take their time, and that drum beat's amazing, and I think it's very much like what's happening in music right now. There's a little bit of the 80s drums there, you know, a little bit of effects there, but it's just such an interesting song. And also, if you notice, all four members of the band sing throughout the song.
That's cool.
This is a band where all four of them are astonishingly just talented, intuitive musicians on their own. And they all sing, they all harmonize, they all play multiple instruments. So their live show is just a jaw-dropper in terms of just straight-up musical talent.
Sure.
And like for people who really like to sink their teeth into musical quality, this is a band that you're really gonna love. So,
I would think they'd be so fun live.
They really are, and they got great personalities, and they're super funny, and but really just like good fucking music
that surrounds you.
It really does. Like this one, and their music has always had a tendency towards like being cinematic. Their ballads though are just as beautifully performed. Like, oh my goodness, there's a song called "Shadows of Tall Buildings." It was on Gabriel Mann's solo record years ago, and then it showed up on, I want to say, their Crazy Ever After record.
Yeah.
This is, and they're four people now. They started as three people, and then Rob Giles joined as their fourth member, and he's been with them for the past couple records. Anyway, I can't say enough about the Rescues. Go and buy all their stuff. You'll be glad you did.
I'm really, really happy to have been introduced to them. It's perfect.
Well, thank you all for listening so much. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, let us know what you think, share your opinion, ask questions, make music recommendations. The best way to do it is to tweet us. I'm at Phil Putnam Music.
And I'm at Joe Redhead.
And if you really need to email us, we don't have a website quite yet, so you can actually just go to philputnam.com, go to the contact page, send an email through there, and we'll get it that way.
And if you would like to build us our website,
please tweet or email.
Yes, exactly.
All right, thanks, you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone.